remind you that the month of January, on Wednesday night, on Hour of Power, we're doing a four-week series on goal setting. It'll cover a lot of different areas in goal setting, financial, so forth, spiritually, so forth. A fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin, not me, the other Kenneth Hagin, my dad, he used to tell me all the time, son, set your goals high. He said, if you reach half of them, you've done something. If you set your goals low and you reach all of them, you haven't done anything. This is going to be a special series, and it's going to be taught by several different individuals. So you want to mark that down and get it on your calendar. Tell your friends and have them to come, because it's something that we all need, because nobody accomplishes anything if they don't set goals. You just mark time. All right. Today is the first Sunday before Christmas. I want to talk about something that's a little different. The miracles in Jesus' birth. You know, we celebrate December 25th as the birth of Christ. More than likely, it didn't take place at that particular time. But that is the time, and people get caught up in this. That's not the right time. Any of us that's been to Bible college and studied canonicity and bibliology and the life and times of Jesus, those all three of those classes that I had. But this is the time we have set aside to honor our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't get hung up on that. Too many people get hung up on some of the dates and so forth. And we really don't know all of those dates anyway. They put together different pieces of historical things that they can get a hold of. They put together different archaeological findings that they have and come up with a date. But I want you to zero in on the fact this is the day that Christmas is the day we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The miracles in the birth of Jesus. The scriptures describe the birth of Jesus as a miraculous event. They're not putting it on my monitor. It's not something that we as humans can even really comprehend. It seems out of reason. But the Word of God tells us that Jesus' birth was orchestrated by God Himself. It was a miraculous, supernatural event, not something that could happen in the natural. Matthew 1:18 says, this is how, I'm reading from the NLT, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what an angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she now is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now these verses that I just read to you, they talk and describe the birth of Jesus Christ as it's accomplished through the power and by the power of God. It's not something that can't happen naturally, nor is it something that we as mere humans would even think about. Someone has said this, "Rejoice, be glad because the Savior has come to earth. The greatest miracle of all times has taken place. The child of God has come to earth in human form." Christmas was started with a miracle, the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to talk about the miracles are the miraculous that took place in the birth of Jesus. But you know, I was just thinking about this. If you've ever watched some of the Great American Family and the Hallmark movies that are on right now, they talk about the miracle of Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle. Anybody watch those? Anybody say they talk? Well, hey, you know where they got that from? They got it from right here, what I'm talking about. The miracle of Christmas. You know, this miraculous event was made possible through the miraculous God. And the miraculous God that orchestrated and engineered these events can still move miraculously in our lives today. You know, we should expect that. When we study the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, it is nothing short of miraculous. The first thing, the supernatural fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament concerning Jesus' birth is miraculous. I'm going to say that again. The supernatural fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament concerning Jesus' birth is miraculous. Now, I'm going to say something that you probably never thought of, but the first messianic prophecy was talked about in Genesis when it said her offspring shows that Christ would be born of a woman, Genesis 3:15. "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. This is a word from God spoken thousands of years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he will strike your head speaks figuratively of Jesus Christ defeating Satan and making him unable to reign over mankind. Now, thousands of years later, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, miraculously revealing Jesus being born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, all right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Now look at Isaiah 9:6. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then again, through the prophet Micah, that Bethlehem will be the birthplace of Jesus. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets mentioned and spoke of the coming of Jesus and his mission. You know, every aspect of the birth of Jesus is spoken by the Old Testament prophets. Time and time again, we see the unveiling of these details as we read the prophets. Only God could supernaturally line up the prophetic utterances and correctly and accurately depict the birth and the life of Christ. You know, when you think about it, God went to great lengths to make sure that the plan for the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ happened exactly as it was prophesied by the prophets of old. We need to stretch our thoughts and embrace the miraculous power of God and what he can do in our lives today. I want to encourage you to realize that God can do more for you than you can ever think or ask. Number two, numerous miraculous things happen at the time of Jesus' birth. They are nothing short of miraculous. Now, first of all, let's look at something. The miraculous birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. It was prophesied that he would be the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah. He was born to parents that said that they would never have any children. He was a miracle baby. We're talking about our miraculous God. See, God prophesied John the Baptist 100 years before he was born. But he was able to cause him to be born at the exact time. Just a little before Jesus. So that he would be there in the wilderness preaching when the Messiah came to him to be baptized in the river. Let's look at another miracle. The miracle of the angels appearing to people. Numerous angels appeared supernaturally around the time of Jesus' birth. That's not an everyday experience. Angels appeared to Mary and Joseph, the shepherds. This is happening 400 years at the end of 400 years of silence. You see, from the book, the last book of the Old Testament until the book of Matthew, and some of you probably studied about this, because of Israel's disobedience to God, they fell into all kinds of things. And for 400 years, there was not any movement with God. But now, suddenly, after 400 years of silence, suddenly angels begin appearing to various people with messages of God's plan of the Messiah. The miracle of the Virgin Mary conceiving a child by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, some people don't believe this at all. Other people have tried to scientifically give an explanation of how Mary could have had a baby without knowing a man. The Bible reveals it. It tells us exactly that the birth of Jesus was a supernatural event that could only happen miraculously. Today, we can believe the birth of Jesus was miraculous, and consequently, we receive the miraculous new birth as we believe and confess Christ as our Savior. The miracle of setting aside his deity and becoming born as a human dwelling among us. The Philippians, Paul writing this in Philippians 2, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave born as a human being when he appeared in human form. And somebody said, how can an infinite God fit into a physical body? Yet Jesus' birth, the eternal Son of God, became a man in human form. My friend Rick Renner says this: God existed in glory more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend and more powerful than human flesh can endure. Yet he desired to come to earth to purchase redemption for man. Therefore, God had no choice but to reclothe him in the manner that could be tolerated by man. Once again, the miraculous. And now let's look at another miracle. The miracle of the star. Matthew 2:1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About the same time, the wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. Asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we've come to worship him." And go down to verse 9. "And the star they had seen guided them to Bethlehem and went ahead of them and stopped over where the child was." These are men from the Orient. They had a knowledge of stars. They noticed a different star that appeared miraculously in the sky. And they had never seen it in there before. And it began to move in a certain direction. And they began to follow it. And miraculously, it led them to Jesus. If God can miraculously guide those men, don't you think that he can guide you in your life? Look at this. The miracles of Joseph's dreams guiding him. In the few verses that there are about Joseph in the Gospels, I think about one-third of those describe angels appearing to Joseph in dreams. In these miraculous dreams, it helped Joseph to make the right decision and follow God's plan for Jesus. Through these dreams, Joseph was able to protect Jesus and his mother and leading them to be at the right place at the right time. Think about this. The miracle of the alignment, bringing forth Jesus just at the right time. Galatians 4:4. "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Think about this. Going all the way back to the Old Testament, as I've been talking, to right now, talking about the right time. Can you see the miraculous timeline that's being displayed for us? You know, they talk about vision boards. This, as we look at this, this is God's vision board. From the very beginning to the end. Because all that's on that vision board hasn't been played out yet. Supernaturally, miraculously, one event after another. The birth of Jesus was miraculous. And God, that same God, can continue to do miraculous things on earth today in our lives. Third, the miracle working God who moves supernaturally in the first Christmas can also supernaturally move during this Christmas season. Psalm 78:7. "So each generation should set its hopes anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." Now, the context of this verse is speaking of and giving instructions to the generations of Israel not to forget what God had done for them. Yet this verse shows us God is able, he is willing to do this one generation after generation after generation. So that sends a clear message to us stating that God's supernatural, miraculous power is still available for us today. The message of Christmas is that God supernaturally came to all mankind through his son Jesus, no matter what their status in life. One person has made this observation. Jesus could have been born to a wealthy, prominent family in the holy city of Jerusalem with pomp and fanfare of a king. Instead, God chose a teenage girl, an outsider from Nazareth, lowly shepherds, pagan foreigners, and a little town and a humble manger to announce the birth of his son Jesus. Thus, stating that Jesus is for everyone. He came for foreigners, the outcasts, the despised, the rejected, the imperfect and the sick, the broken and the weak, the weary and depressed, the needy and the criminal. He came for sinners. He will not reject nor despise anyone who turns to him, but freely offers his grace and forgiveness to anyone who believes and accepts. This is the message of Christmas. The miraculous God that reached out to mankind with power and love, starting in the Garden of Eden. And that miraculous plan is still in existence today and will be in existence until he returns one glorious day, which we call the return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for his first coming. It was miraculous. But thinking about it, when he comes again, will be miraculous also. Let me finish up with this. God has not changed. He's still the miracle-working God today. He still continues to communicate with people with visions and dreams. God continues and wants to do miraculous things in our lives. He still works supernaturally to bring about the ultimate plan for all of our lives. God continues to speak to us supernaturally, to our hearts, encouraging us to believe his promises and see the miraculous power of God in demonstration. Psalms 106, 2. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? So we need to be like the psalmist and praise God for what he's done for us, and praise him for what he's going to do for us, because he is still the same miraculous God that organized all of these events that I've talked about so that you and I could live free from sin and degradation, sickness and poverty, and live the good life that God said belongs to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son Jesus. We have talked about the miraculous birth that took place. Let us all realize that that same miracle-working God is here today to work in our lives. If you happen to be here today and you've never experienced that miraculous event of becoming a new person in Christ Jesus, I want you to do that today. Or if you are here and you have experienced that, but you've got off course, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So if you would just simply raise one hand, just like this, so I'll know who you are, so I can pray with you today. Anybody, anywhere in this congregation? Is there a hand back there, I think? Yes. Anybody in the balcony? Anybody else? Would everyone stand, please? If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going to go right down here to the front. I saw one hand that went up. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come and meet me right down here at the front. So this miraculous event, being changed by the power of God to a new life, come now. I'm waiting on you. Anybody wants to come? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you needed to, should have. Come on. Come on right here. Stand right here, face me. Stand right there. God bless you, man. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. This is your opportunity. You're in the balcony. The ushers will help you get down here. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray with you right here. Then I'm going to ask you to go a special place where they can be prayed with individually and in depth, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you that as he stepped out with a boldness, I thank you that you will step into his life and his life will be changed forever in Jesus' name. Amen. You see this man right here? That's one of my pastoral staff. Go with him. That's Greg. Go with him to that special place. Raise your hands and thank God for this man. Praise God. His life will never be the same again after today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know whether you enjoyed that message. It's a little different than a normal Christian Christmas message. But I tell you what, I really enjoyed ministering it to you. As I was getting ready for it, and I think you can tell as I delivered it, it really spoke to my heart. And I tried to get it to you the way I was feeling it. And I believe I did, because he's still the same miraculous God. And he's still organizing events for each of our lives. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, don't forget all of the special announcements. Tonight, be here at 6 o'clock for the evening service. And especially Tuesday night for carols, candlelight, and communion. I think it's one of our most beautiful services that we have. Staff, you can go to the doors. First-time guests, if we had some first-time guests, would y'all, the people go pick them up, take them to receive a special gift that we have for them? You can see where all the staff is going. We want to shake your hands. We'll see you tonight and especially on Tuesday night. God bless you. Merry Christmas.